Hello, everybody. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 27th of February. The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Anyone who looks at this world with open eyes and who is not totally blasé can sometimes be gripped with horror. How do we Christians react to this world? What do we have to do? Should we withdraw? Should we complain and say, "Ah, how serious"? How do Christians face this world? Jesus gives a clear answer to the question, how should a Christian behave in this world? Previously, Jesus showed the completely different life that Christians can have. Previously, he explained clearly what the privilege was of being able to live as a Christian, to anchor one's life in Jesus. And now, in the verses before you, Jesus describes the responsibility that comes with this privilege. What is the Christian's responsibility in this world? What is our task? What is our function on this earth? And we will see that this mission can be summed up very briefly. Christians take action. This means that Christians, and all Christians, must exert influence in this world. But how can this be done? Firstly, the Christian and the world. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." The first thing Jesus calls our attention to here is this glaring opposition between the Christian and the world. But what he says, Jesus clarifies the condition in which his people present themselves in the world. He designates the field of action in which we must prove ourselves. And it becomes clear that between the man who belongs to Jesus Christ and this world, there is an enormous contrast. And by the world, Jesus means those who do not live under his domination, who do not belong to his kingdom. So there is a huge gap between Christians and the world. Salt enhances the taste of some foods. If you have tasted vegetables cooked without salt, or bread without salt, you understand well what its absence implies. And when Jesus says that Christians are salt, he means that their contribution is, let's say, interesting for the world. Light also has a certain effect. It illuminates the darkness and allows us to navigate in the midst of darkness. And when Jesus refers to Christians as the light of the world, he means that the world is in darkness. It is dark and deserves to be enlightened. Christians on one side, the world on the other. Salt on one side, bland on the other. Light on one side, darkness on the other. A glaring opposition. And this opposition becomes even more glaring when Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." This means you alone are the light of the world, he says, addressing Christians. And here, of course, the question immediately arises. If we consider what the world thinks of religions, if we consider the imperfections of Christians, sometimes even the contradictions of Christians with regard to the message they proclaim, if we consider the criticisms that the world addresses to Christians in return, isn't it a bit presumptuous to receive these words from Jesus, You are the salt of the earth and the light of the world? Shouldn't we rather say, we strive to be salt and light. We try as much as possible to bring some light into this world. Well, no. Jesus does not exhort us to be salt and light, but he simply states a fact. You are the light of the world. What earns us this honour? It is certainly not because we are better than others. Jesus made this clear. I am the light of the world. Moreover, the Apostle John also said from the beginning of his gospel that the light had come into the world and that the world had not welcomed it. The true light is therefore Jesus himself. He is God incarnate. He is sinless. He is truth. And besides, what is a Christian? A Christian is a person who has a personal connection with Jesus. He trusts him. He obeys him. That's what a Christian is. Jesus is not only our model. He is the light to which we are bound. And this is why Jesus can tell us, you too are the light of the world, because you belong to me. Paul wrote this to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. So you are light because you are linked to Jesus and belong to him. You are not light because you have better skills than others, because you are of good character, because you show goodwill, or because you are available for the church. No, it's not because of that. You are the light of the world because Jesus lives in you, because he holds you firmly, because you belong to him. Again, Paul writes this to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And before that happens, before you were darkness, says Paul, but now you are children of light through Jesus. And that's why, all of a sudden, there's this huge contrast between the Christian and the world, because the world is still in darkness. Anyone who does not belong to Christ, says the Bible, is darkness. It does not matter whether one is decent or indecent, whether one behaves in a charitable or in a selfish way. Whoever does not belong to Christ is darkness. Secondly, the dangers that await us. This thought is radical for the world when it becomes aware of it. At first glance, it is acceptable between us. It doesn't do so well in the world, which in the majority must think that our ideas are outdated or false or even offensive. We are simply recalling here a contrast made by Jesus, but Jesus is not saying that because the world is what it is, darkness, and we are what we are, light, we must rest on our laurels and isolate ourselves. On the contrary, he says that because the world is darkened, it needs light, and he reminds us that salt brings taste. But he also knows that we can become ineffective in the world, and that is why he reminds us that we are salt and light. Jesus warns us, what if the salt suddenly loses its quality? The danger is that it no longer serves its supposed purpose. If I transpose, the danger is that we no longer recognise Christians as such, that they do not bring taste to the world. This is the danger. It is very important that we are recognisable. The salt must be able to be tasted, and then the light must be able to be seen, otherwise it makes no sense. So even if we are in the world, we cannot be invisible, lost in the middle of the world, on the verge of extinction. Nor can we withdraw from life. We do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. It is an insidious danger to withdraw into ourselves, but it's so easily done. We are human beings. We might want to be tranquil. We have multiple reasons that push us to adapt to the surrounding world, and then withdraw. And we have to ask ourselves if we have adapted, if we have made compromises. Thirdly, the commandment of God. That is why, at the end, Jesus gives us a far-reaching command. First, he recalls a fact, we are salt and light. Then he warns against an insidious danger. And finally, he gives us a command which means give taste and shine. He said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Verse 16. As naturally as the city should be seen from the mountain, as naturally as the light should be placed on a lampstand, you should so show yourself in the world, you should be visible. What should we be? A few grains of salt have a huge effect. We have rejoiced in the past in the testimonies of faith of some footballers. Sometimes we saw the name of Jesus written on a t-shirt. Sometimes we interviewed them. Rugby teams are seen kneeling and praying together at the end of some matches. We are not creating a kingdom of peace on earth, no. We are not promised that anywhere. We do not prevent evil from maturing. God said it would happen anyhow, and you are seeing it even more these days. Evil must come to fruition, and eventually God will judge it definitively. We don't do that, but we can hinder and slow down the progress of evil. Jesus is looking for men of salt who do not adapt, but who obey, who do not withdraw, but who show their colours. Today, people in Eastern Europe do not stand down. They show their colours and risk their lives. And Jesus is looking for men who shine. Salt has a rather indirect, invisible effect. Light, on the other hand, has a direct and visible effect, and that is why Jesus invites us once again at the end of our text, let your light shine before men. And we immediately ask ourselves, is this not a totally excessive requirement? Should we be model Christians with a model life? Who can do it? What light should shine? Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So who is our light? It is Jesus himself. It is he who makes us light by connecting us to him. And so it is clear that we do not have to produce this light ourselves. We only have to reflect it. We must live in obedience to Jesus. We must let him forgive us and cleanse us constantly from our faults, and then his light will shine more and more through us. Many claim that Christians should build hospitals and provide social services, help the poor, and that is enough. But that's not what it says here. We have to read the exact sentence. Does Jesus say, shine your light so that they see your good works and that social misery is a little relieved? He doesn't say that. Or does he say, so that they see your good works and that the world becomes a little more humane and harmonious? He doesn't say that either. But he said, in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the goal. And what must happen to make someone come to praise our Heavenly Father? Well, logically, he will first come to faith in Jesus and faith in his Heavenly Father, and then he will praise the Father. And that is how things are clear. Jesus says your good works should be such as to help others come to faith. And that is why good works are not just good deeds. You know, good deeds can also be done by non-Christians. But in our text, it is about our whole life, our words and our deeds. Our whole life must be marked by Jesus in such a way that it makes, and I dare to say it, publicity for faith in him. Our whole life must give courage and desire to seek the bond with Jesus. Our whole life should be a signal, a signpost to Jesus and the Heavenly Father. If your good work does not collect the assent of all, or if it is not recognized as useful or honorable, Its beneficial effects are resounding for those who have benefited from it, and you give glory to God both by what you are, because you speak, by what you do. You know that there is little difference between a word you write and then cross out, and a word you write and then underline. There is only a small gap in position between the two strokes you add, but the effect is radically different. So let our words not cross out our actions, and conversely, let our actions not cross out our words, but let our words be underlined by our actions. Often God causes things that we do simply and sometimes so naturally, because we want to be faithful and obedient to God, to have a positive effect. I spoke about acts, but the same goes for our behaviour in life, even if there we are more in being than in doing. How much of the light that Jesus brought to us are we transmitting? We have so many possibilities. We don't have to wait for people to come and ask us for insight. The light does not shine only when the darkness demands it, but in the morning the light overcomes the darkness. We have so many opportunities to shine the light. A final thought. What are we doing in the world? We act? We leave our mark on this world. We know the contrast between light and darkness, between the Christian and the world, between a life with Jesus and a life without Jesus. We know it. We are different, not because we are better, but because we have a better chief, the best there is. But we must be vigilant, because the insidious danger of adapting to the world or submitting to it, or on the contrary of withdrawing into our bubble, always waits us. It is a daily decision to live according to the commandments of God. We have the right to act on our society by our simple presence, which must testify to the action of the Holy Spirit in us. This is our indirect effect. And then we also have to act directly in this world and shine by showing Jesus. We must be lighted torches for the truth of God, recognisable and unequivocal, understandable, clear and bright, so that we can enlighten those who are in the dark and bring them back to God. May many come out of darkness and into true light. Therefore, let your light shine before men, that they may see your whole life and glorify your heavenly Father. Amen.